Thanks for being with us on the Coca-Cola Cooldown. An unbelievable afternoon here at the Wynn Entertainment Centre. I'm Jack Heverin, alongside Derek Rucker. Illawarra win in overtime, 113 to 108. Wow.
That's all we can say. And I'm still just so emotional after that game. A fantastic game to have the honor to work. So much given by so many players and coaches out there doing that 45 minutes of basketball. Outstanding performances. Not as heartbreaking a loss for Melbourne as it was for Illawarra in game one. However, Melbourne must go away from this game feeling that they had their ticket almost punched into the championship series.
What's interesting is that we're recording this show about 10 minutes after the final buzzer.
Yep.
Over our left shoulder here, Melbourne United's coaching staff have only just left the bench. I can't remember a time, Ruck, where I've seen that, where the coaching staff stay out here while all the players are back in the locker room and they didn't talk to each other. They just sat there. Does that tell us how Melbourne feel about today?
Yeah, it can be a real numbing experience as you try and process what happened. This venue is a cauldron. It's been known that for years when this team is successful. It's a difficult place to win basketball games, and Melbourne United experienced that today. Now, Dean Vickerman probably just needed time. Yeah. Didn't want to be too emotionally when he faced up to his players. Also, from a coaching perspective, it gives your team and the players time to process it amongst themselves, figure out how they want to address it, and just give them the independence as a unit to process it all.
Let's start with Gary Clark. Phenomenal performance. Had some questions asked after Thursday night. Didn't play a role in the fourth quarter or overtime because of Luke Travers. To quote someone famous, he took that personally. And he responded because the fourth quarter was Gary Clark's. In fact, the whole afternoon was Gary Clark's.
I mentioned in the third period to Andrew about the intelligence of excellent basketball players, being able to make adjustments week to week, game to game. But sometimes in big moments like this, you've got to figure it out on the spot. And I thought Gary Clark, after being neutralized in game one, and then in this game, the third quarter, Travers did a really good job. But then in the fourth quarter, Clark started to find ways to make it work. Now, all of that, all of those points and that impact wasn't against Travers, but some of them were, enough of them were to give Clark confidence now, I believe, going into game three, that there is virtually nobody on Melbourne United that can handle him in a one-on-one situation.
And do you think he'll be thinking that as well?
No doubt. He had 31 and 16. He would be riding high, feeling, as I said, that right now he has unlocked a key to the Melbourne defense.
Maybe the other key that Illawarra have unlocked is Will Hickey, who started the last couple of games. The energy, the spark, the enthusiasm today that he provided to this team. You can't put a price on it. You can't put a value on it. You've just got to see it to understand it.
Some players you can really go by their measurables and their stats. In Will Hickey's case today, yes, his stats were great, but they didn't even tell the full story of his impact in this game. That rebound, the final one alone, not to give up on the play or the basketball and understand the urgency and pursue that basketball and finish the play and to send this game into overtime, he saved this team's season in one play.
Yep.
But all the other things he was doing, pressuring players, just being out in the lane, you have to deal with his physical hyperactivity out there on the floor. And it's just not about energy. He's got skills, too. We saw a couple of times in transition, he was able to finish really nice and get much-needed buckets for Illawarra.
You said it in the call that, in many ways, he typifies everything that Illawarra are and what they stand for as a team, but also as a community.
Exactly, and he's very good in the community. But now, he's got to deliver. All that good work, this is a tough part of pro sports, right? He's done a great job in the back end of this season and in games one and two. But what are you going to do in game three? You got to bring that same energy and all that effectiveness and all that defensive productivity. You got to bring it now at another level in the pressure cooker of JCA.
The other one that I know you wanted to mention was Tyler Harvey.
Mm.
Again, not his biggest afternoon statistically, but it was the quality of shots and the key moments in that fourth quarter, Ruck, and into overtime where Tyler Harvey took the momentum and took the responsibility.
All his points mattered in this game. And that hasn't always been the case with Tyler Harvey. Sometimes he's had fluff points, points that down the stretch didn't really matter, or he's had big games and negated the effectiveness of his big game by making questionable plays down the stretch. Today we saw none of that, and it was good to see him get his confidence again, knock down some shots, and play really sound basketball and not foul out. He picked up his fourth foul, I believe, with about 6.5 minutes to go in the game. He and Justin Tatum were able to navigate through that situation, so he was able to play the rest of the game. Look, I can't praise the guy enough in the change that he's made rapidly to his playing style and his on-court personality.
From a Melbourne point of view, I mean, they didn't play badly.
No.
62% from the free throw line. Little things are the big things in playoff basketball. Will they talk about that?
Well, when the rebounding advantage that they had early in the game started to disappear, those missed free throws increased in magnitude, and especially down the stretch. And I'm sure Chris Golding is going to be dreaming about that missed free throw. Up two, he misses the second end of two, which would have put them up three, and then that leads to the hickey putback to send the game into overtime. I think JLA missed two big ones. So, look, you got to rebound and you got to knock down free throws in these big games like this. And unfortunately, Illawarra were able to balance out the rebounding, and then they won at the free throw line.
How did you see Matthew Dellavedova's game, particularly in the back end, fourth quarter and into overtime?
He's playing high-level basketball. I think this is the best level he's ever played as a pro. He's scoring, he's distributing, he's defending. Look, it's taking a lot out of him, and Andrew Gaze mentioned in the call that he thought a couple of times maybe Deli was running on tired legs, but he's a tough guy. He's a warrior. We know the lengths he's willing to go to win a championship. Finally, though, we are seeing kind of the full bloom of Matthew Dellavedova as a basketball player.
So I guess the big question going into Wednesday, what are the learnings out of today?
I have no idea. You got to go out there and bring the energy because it's been high quality basketball. I would love for the standard to remain at this level, but history tells us that game threes are usually a real slog, and the team that is able to hit critical shots and get critical stops, that will be the team that advances to the championship series. And I, honestly, I don't know who the better team is right now. It's a toss-up. Coming into this series, I'd kind of lean towards a 2-0 sweep from Melbourne United. But Illawarra have far exceeded what I expected from them. They have been really, really gutsy, and it's not like Melbourne United have played poorly. It's just really good basketball and one of the best playoff series I've seen in this past decade.
Wednesday, 7:30 at John Cain Arena for Game 3. Hey, before we finish up, Tasmania play tomorrow night against the Perth Wildcats in Tasmania at MyState Bank Arena. They're going to do it without Marcus Lee, who's taken a one-game suspension for the act late in the game on Friday with Jordan Usher. What did you think?
Well, Andrew and I didn't love the sentence, so to speak. It seemed harsh, it seemed unfair, but it is what it is, and the Jack Jumpers had to make a decision quickly. I think they did the right thing. You could roll the dice, but then potentially you lose Lee for game three, okay? So I'm going to play the percentages and say we're probably going to win game two at home. Without Lee, I think they have enough, especially if Will Magne is healthy. Now, that's dangerous because Perth is fired up. They look like they are really intent, and they can go on the road. Part of Perth's success historically has been the ability to go to road games and win. So they got a big challenge. But in all likelihood, I think Tasmania feel confident at home. They'll get Lee back, travel to Perth, game three.
It's added some spice to tomorrow night.
Big time. And, you know, again, Perth were great. They got a significant contribution from Keanu Pender. That was a difference in the game. But they're going to need more down in Hobart.
That's coming up 7:30 tomorrow night. Of course, check your local guides. Ruck, nicely done by you. We're back on Wednesday now.
See you Wednesday.
Thanks for being with us on the Coca-Cola Cooldown. We'll catch you next time.